your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rod Neal.
Of a Marriage Takeover. Listen, we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
We are
Marriage Takeover.
We help couples win in their marriage by identifying their triggers and breaking generational cycles.
Boom!
So, welcome to this, February. We are in the month of February, you guys.
Can't believe it already, Slim.
It was November came. Actually, it was like October
came.
Then it was January. Now January is here. Then now we're like already in February.
Like, man.
So
like,
we are excited. This is something. And we pray that your February has already been a blessing. Your new year has already been a blessing to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know how we like to do here at Marriage Takeover.
Hey, because we're about to get it in today.
And offer you some value. And we are going to be talking about all kind of juicy, intimacy stuff.
Now, listen. See, first off, you know, we are firm believers in therapy. Yes, I'm going to leave it right there. Oh, yeah, because it's about to be on and popping. So grab your pencils, your papers, your pens, everything. Because if you want to know how to break them things, we're going to break them. You hear me?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Sit back, relax. But first, we're going to
I don't know if you're going to be able to relax in this one, Slim. Let's
we're going to get started with prayer.
Let's get our minds right so we can go before the throne.
Are you going to pray? I'm sorry. Or do you want me to pray?
Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. God, we thank you for this podcast. God, we thank you for our guest that is here on today. So, Father God, we ask that you be in the midst and just have your way, oh God. Father, folk, I just know that people are going to be set free, oh God, just by listening to this podcast. And so, Father, we just want to tell you thank you in advance. So, Father, just continue to let your will be done, Father. You have your way, Father. Let this conversation touch those that needs to hear it, oh God. God, where it'll be something that's instrumental to someone, oh God. And so, Father, we ask that you just continue to have your way. We tell you thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Go and bring them out, baby. Bring them out. Bring them out. Go ahead. What you got?
Bring them out. Listen, you guys, we have in store for you. Imagine the sensation of soft sand between your toes, the gentle caress of tropical breezes, and the rhythmic sounds of waves meeting the shore. Picture you and your spouse, hand in hand, leaving behind those mundane daily routines, stepping out on a vacation that is well-deserved into a world filled with love, romance, and tropical excitement. Sounds like a dream, right? Well, get ready, because it's about to come true. Join us for the Marriage Takeover Tropical Shift Retreat in Aruba. Listen, you don't want to miss this. I met this young lady online. Actually, we were introduced by a mutual colleague. And
break it down.
She has been phenomenal. You know what? We have been looking for a sex therapist.
Woo! Kind of. She done let the cat out the bag.
For the Marriage Takeover community. And I was so happy to meet with her and to talk with her and just kind of explore all the different avenues of just kind of what's available to kind of unlock as we talk about sex in our marriage. And as we talk about, you know, how we explore sex and what we talk about intimacy and what that looks like. And so today we have a phenomenal treat for you guys, y'all.
Listen.
So today we have.
Listen. We know Valentine's Day was a couple days ago. But listen, don't be upset. Do not be upset, because we're about to drop some keys for you real quick. Just know we got eyes in. Praise the Lord. So just don't be upset. Go ahead.
So let me introduce you to Naquan Lewis, who is the founder of Intimate Connections.
Yes.
PLLC. Is a multifaceted licensed marriage and family therapist,
licensed
professional counselor, and certified sex therapist.
Certified.
She's serving Katy Houston and all of Texas. She specializes in individual couples and sex therapy. Now, Naquan's expertise is bolstered by her sexual health certification in sex therapy.
Watch out now.
As a distinguished voice in relationship and sexual health, she's been spotlighted in major publications such as Essence, Cosmopolitan, Glamour. Essence. Beyond her therapeutic work, Naquan's impact is felt through her roles as a speaker, a consultant, and creator of signature products. Her mission? To foster profound connections and catalyze intentional growth for individuals, couples, and larger groups. Now, through Intimate Connections PLLC, she champions holistic well-being and purposeful intimacy, ensuring her clientele navigate life's intricacies with confidence and clarity.
Confidence.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help me to welcome Naquan Lewis.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. 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 Yes.
So
thank
happy
you.
Happy.
I'm happy to be here.
Welcome.
Oh, my goodness. Really, babe.
Tell us
about, now I know I just read this phenomenal bio of you. So tell us kind of about a little bit about you, how long you've been married and why you're in this space. What do you love most about this space of sex therapy?
Okay. So, thank you again for the fabulous introduction. So in addition to all of those things, I have been with my husband for 17 years. We've been married for a little over 8. I am the mother of a 23-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son, so soon to be empty nester. So that's a whole other conversation about intimacy when it comes to that.
Watch
right?
out.
And so I got into the space of sexual health. I've been doing this for a long time. My undergraduate career was very much still focused on sexual health. So I have so much research under my belt because I was a teen mom. Right. A lot of people in our community were not educated on sex. It was just don't do it. Right.
Right.
And ain't nobody listening to that. So watching say ain't but a lot of us. Right. A lot of us. And so I come up in a home with, you know, domestic violence and addiction. And, you know, I was doing things that I maybe shouldn't have, but I got pregnant early on. And so because a lot of us did not learn how to build healthy relationships, we surely weren't talking about, you know, sex and how to access pleasure. I got into this role of standing in the gap.
Wow.
As well as only 4% of therapists in the U.S. are Black. And so representation matters. And so I knew early on in my undergraduate career that I wanted to do sex therapy. So all of my research from then until now has been focused on sexual health because, again, teen mom, and I want to assist people with not only making well-informed decisions regarding their, you know, sexual health, but also access pleasure. I talk to Black women every day about how to access pleasure. So those are some of the reasons, my main whys for getting in this field.
Sweet. I love it. I love it. And you are so right. So I grew up in, well, Eric and I both, we grew up in the South. We were from Florida originally. And that was one of the things both my mother and my grandmother used to always tell us, don't you come home with no babies. Don't you bring home no babies. And I don't care what they said or how they did it. It was just a, don't you come home with no babies. We didn't talk about anything other than that when it came to sex.
I got to share this one. There was a time my mom came, she says to me, she says, Eric, are you still a virgin? I said, no, ma'am. Fallen day, there was a bag of condoms on my desk. I was like, no conversation. Can you at least show me how to put it on? But that's what it was for
right?
me.
That's true,
and that's so common. And no conversation at all.
And so why do you think that there's no conversation around that? I think that, like, our generations, as we're getting older, we're trying to shift that narrative with our children. But why do you think that there is really no conversation around, like, what it is just to have sexual health?
There's so much shame around it, even still. And in today's generation, you know, we are working more towards dismantling that narrative that, you know, sex is, you know, it's dirty and, you know, women should focus on the pleasure of their partners. We are really working to dismantle that. But growing up and, you know, our parents and our grandparents, it was all so taboo. And so a lot of people don't have the language about, you know, sexual health, including pleasure. And so what I do, I have children, I teach them. I utilize the products that I create for couples and individuals with my children to teach them and educate them for sexual health. I want them to be advocates for their sexual health and also to, you know, to participate and understand that, you know, sex is awesome. But what does that really encompass, right? It encompasses responsibility, it encompasses communication skills. And so sexual health is more than just the actual penetration, which is, you know, what our kids are really focusing on. Because if we don't give the information to them, they get it from their friends and they don't know nothing.
Right. And that's one of the things that we wanted to do differently with our children, because I was like, if you don't learn that at home, guess what? You're going to learn it in the streets. And I don't want you learning it from Lil Bob and Lil Sue and Keisha and them, who probably don't know, because or they know something and it's all the wrong way. And they're teaching you these things from school and from the bus and all these different avenues. And so one of the things we did differently with our son, he's now 23, but we recorded like his birth.
You right? See this,
so
son?
The whole process. And so we started the sex education from there. Like, this is how the baby comes in its form, like how it comes out. But let's talk about all the things before that, how we get there. And we did a whole sex ed 101 about like STDs and the other stuff. But one of the things we did not do, just because we didn't know then, was just about the sexual pleasure and the sexual health. Because and so most of our community, as you already know, we are we're in the church, right? And so oftentimes the church, talking about sex in the church or intimacy in the church is really taboo, unless we're talking about being intimate with God.
Right.
And as you mentioned, that it comes with, you know, some form of shame, where God created sex. Like, and he created it for us to have pleasure, and he created it for us to be able to enjoy it with one another. And that's how we become one. Mm-hmm. And so we lose the sight of, you know, being able to really fully understand it in all its fullness when we don't fully understand, like, I guess, the groundwork of intimacy.
Yes, absolutely.
And so how do you go about, let's say,
with that groundwork,
the groundwork with starting out with intimacy? Because we always say that sex is the reward of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many different layers of intimacy. Like, it's not just like there's physical touch, there's emotional, there's so many different layers of intimacy. So how do you start that conversation with just the husband and the wife? Because I think they have to start there first before to be comfortable before they can even start to teach their children.
Absolutely. So it starts with intimacy with self. My tagline is, I assist individuals and couples with improving intimacy with themselves first and then others.
Mm.
Because if I don't have it for me, then how can I have it for you? That's right. Good. And so the groundwork starts individually. How am I loving me? And oftentimes that's not really an active practice. And so when I'm working with people, that's where I start. Are you affirming yourself, right? If you don't know how you want to be loved, how can you love yourself intentionally?
Come on.
Right? And then how can you teach your partner how to love you intentionally? Right. So the education piece and the practice starts there. It starts with you.
And so,
and then I'm introduced. Oh,
go ahead. No. Go ahead. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Don't cut her off. Oh my God.
there's a slight delay, so I thought you were done. I'm so sorry. No. Go ahead.
No worries. So then with couples, and also as an individual, I'm teaching about like you talked about, the different types of intimacy. There's so many different types of intimacy, but I tend to focus on five categories. You touched on them, which is physical, emotional, spiritual, experiential, which just means like shared hobbies and interests, and psychological, right? The intellectual intimacy.
Come on now.
And so we're building that groundwork on the various types of intimacy. It's like love language. How do you like to experience this form of intimacy? Having that communication. Let's discuss it, right? And so one of the things that I've done with my products is I have the how do you want a relationship and sex conversation cards. And so these things are not just beautiful, they're very functional. And one of the greatest questions is define intimacy. Here, I'll show you kind of what it looks like.
And the cards are
here's the card, define intimacy. Create a shared definition with intimacy and how do you want to experience it? How do you want to be loved? So many imperative questions that, because a lot of us did not have the image of healthy relationship and intimacy, we don't know how to build that, right? So I assist people with building that foundation with themselves first and then others by first identifying what they want for themselves and implementing that and also being able to communicate that with others.
Oh, wow.
That's so, so good.
How does that break down, I guess, how does that break down into one of the five categories of intimacy? You know, how, what was the question on the card? I just drew a blank. On the card.
Define intimacy?
Yeah, defining the intimacy. Is that like defining it within each category or bring it all into one?
So what it is it's basically, it depends on the couple because it's conversational. Let's really define this bad boy and deconstruct intimacy. And so if we're talking about what is intimacy to me, a lot of people, no shade to my brothers, but a lot of people, what in my experience, they align intimacy with sex.
Come on.
Right? Now. And sex is one type of physical intimacy, one type of physical, but non-sexual physical intimacy is imperative also, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we're defining intimacy, first we need to know, what are we talking about, the same language here? Are we on the same page?
Right.
So defining intimacy, is it, you know, let's look at those categories, because a lot of people don't know that intimacy is more than sex. It's also, I advocate for intimacy being, it's in our communication. Mm-hmm. It's how you, it's when you wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Are you greeting one another? Are you being kind to one another? That's intimacy. Right. Are you interacting throughout the day, or do you go all day and, you know, you're disconnected, and then someone is expecting, you know, sexual intimacy at the end of the day, and it's like, bruh, I don't feel connected to you.
Right, right.
So, hold on now. So, first off, let me just say this, brothers. I got you. I got you. I got you, brothers. I got you. So, but what if it's the ladies? Now, I'm messing with you. No.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen. Sometimes it is. Now, I think it's possible. But it is possible. It's just, lately especially, it's just people think when you, it's society, really. Right. Society has kind of aligned intimacy and sex. And it's just, it's so much more. And it, like you said, Tamika, intimacy is, or good sex is a product of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
That's my belief. And that's what I teach. Yeah. And so it's definitely not just the men. I was just playing, but it's really educating and really what I call reauthoring people's narratives of sex and what that means and what it looks like.
I love that, reauthoring their narratives of sex, because it's so true. And I mean, to both points, like I've heard where the wives are saying, I just want to be more intimate with my husband. I don't feel connected. You know, I wish he would talk to me more. And whereas sometimes I've heard the husbands then say, well, I feel like my wife is distant. I feel like, you know, she doesn't have time for me. So in both situations, intimacy, but what you mentioned, that I find that so pivotal, because sometimes we feel like one of the number one reasons why people go to divorce is because of communication. It's communication or infidelity or finances. The top three things are those things: communication, infidelity, or finances. And people feel like they can get away from the communication, but communication still is the key here.
It's the key.
Because now I have to communicate to you what my desires are. I have to communicate to you what intimacy is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, like, with the word respect, like for a wife and a husband, the word is the word, but it could mean something completely different. So intimacy to the wife could be something completely different to the husband.
Yes.
And it's so important to have that conversation.
So, question for you. Now, when in dealing with, let's just say you're dealing with a couple, one has a high sex drive, doesn't matter if it's the wife or the husband, and the spouse and the, you know, and the other spouse has a low sex drive. And so understanding that the intimacy is, you know, one thing that we say, you know, just like you, we just use different words, that intimacy, sex is the reward of intimacy. But how do you deal with that couple where they're just on opposite sides of the sex spectrum, if you will? It's like, because it's just kind of hard because it's like, oh, what do you want me to do? Love tank is filled all over the place, but I'm depleted over here, you know. So how do you deal with that couple that is struggling? Because we already know eyes get to wondering, head get to nodding and stuff. So how do you deal with that to where the couples will know, no, you need to keep this in-house, and how this is how you do it. How do you deal with that?
Yes. So, Eric, that is called desire discrepancy. That's the name of that.
Desire discrepancy.
When our sex drives are, there's a discrepancy. They're not, you know, in the same place. And it's absolutely common for so many people. So, first order of business in my practice is to inquire about physical. You always want to ask, you know, have you been to the doctor? Have you had your hormones checked? Especially in our late 30s and then 40s, especially after. But I'm 41, so this applies to me also. We definitely need to be getting our hormone levels checked, because you will find that a lot of people are low in testosterone around this age, and other, you know, sexual health hormones. And so that's first order of business, because that contributes to a lot of low libido. So did you get your hormones checked? What medications are you on? There are certain medications that affect libido. And then you assess relationship satisfaction, because if we are not connected on these various levels of intimacy, that absolutely can affect libido, right? And so if we're hitting it on all cylinders, now we're talking about, okay, there's something called, there's different types of desire. There's spontaneous desire and there's responsive desire. And sometimes people, most times, honestly, people don't necessarily understand that there's different types of desires and that they change throughout the years. And so think about in your 20s when you didn't require much. You was just frisky for no reason, right? It was Tuesday and you're frisky, right? You can bust a wide open. That's what the day is. That's what you want.
Right.
But as time ages, right, and you might require a little bit more, you might be a little more responsive. So spontaneous desire means I don't need any stimulus. I'm good to go. It's just on my mind and I'm raring to go, right? But responsive desire, and there's nothing wrong with this, but responsive desire means I require to be stimulated in some kind of way, oftentimes physically, and then I get turned on. Right. So oftentimes we don't know to have these conversations. And so my partner may not know that I'm a responsive, desires type of person. And I require, you know, physical touch. I require, you know, maybe more of my love language spoken. And that is what really activates my libido. And so, again, always goes down to that communication and, of course, sexual health education. Are you responsive? Are you spontaneous? And also letting people know that there's nothing wrong with either. People get a lot of shame and judgment when they're more responsive, because there's this expectation that people should just be thinking about sex all the time. That's not everybody's life.
Right.
Life is lifing for folks, right? If I had kids and business to run and things like that, that might not be at the forefront of my mind. But if you come speaking my language, right, and rubbing up on me a little bit, maybe then I'm activated at that point. But I'm going through, I'm assessing various aspects of life to understand where this discrepancy is coming from.
I love it. I love it. I'm responsive, baby. I'm responsive.
Whoa, you're responsive.
I'm responsive.
Heaven and earth, God is right. Good. Amen. Amen.
I'm responsive. Listen, I remember, like you said, I remember being in the 20s, 2 or 3, 4 times a day, and be like, whoa, as we get older, be like, wait a second, whoa, like, pump the brakes.
I'd rather a nap. Give me a nap. That's what I'm on.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not messing with y'all. Not today.
I love it.
That is so key. And I just got noticed we gotta go to a commercial break. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Imagine the sensation of soft sand between your toes, the gentle caress of tropical breezes, and the rhythmic sounds of waves meeting the shore.
picture you and your spouse hand in hand, leaving behind those mundane daily routines, stepping out on a vacation that is well-deserved into a world filled with love, romance, and tropical excitement. Sounds like a dream, right? Well, get ready, because it's about to come true. Join us for the Marriage Takeover Tropical Shift Retreat in Aruba. Listen, you don't want to miss this.
And we're back. Oh, my goodness. So we have just found out that some of us are responsive and some of us are still spontaneous. So, but listen, man, let's brain a doc. Brain a doc.
Wait. Huh? And if you're just tuning in, I want you to know that you want to make sure that you go back and you watch this from the very beginning, because we have the phenomenal Naquan Lewis, who is here, a sex therapist, who is here giving us the juices, the goods, the nuggets, so that we can make sure that we are making sure that we're enjoying our marriage in its totality.
Oh, man.
Right? Every area of it, from the sex, the intimacy, the communication. Y'all know how we bring it. So welcome back.
We keeping it raw and real on today. So listen, let's dive in. Now I understand far as we're having the different levels, right? And understanding what's being responsive and what's being spontaneous. But what about when it comes to the sexual traumas? Because, yes, you know, I've noticed that if either the husband or the wife was sexually molested, or something else might have, you know, taken place, but caused that huge disconnect. How do you deal with people that has that trauma?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. So, because they're coming to see me, that's the first order of business, right? Because if I have me, myself, as a person, if I have an unhealthy relationship with sex as a concept in general, then I'm not going to really be able to enjoy it or be in my body with my partner, meaning I'm not in my head, right? And so that's a huge thing. So a lot of people that have had traumas and they still want to please their partner, they oftentimes are in their head. What is my partner thinking? What are they experiencing? And that's denying them a pleasure. So first order of business is to come see me and we discuss, you know, what is that trauma like? And then there's a whole process of healing. Healing is a journey. There is no such thing as just being healed, right? Because the thing with trauma lives in the body. And so that's why you will see people react or have like traumatic responses when they get activated for certain reasons. And until I, again, begin that journey and be on that journey of healing and reauthor my narrative with sex, it's going to be extremely difficult to experience, you know, pleasure with a partner. And so first order of business is coming to see a therapist that's trained in this so they can assist you with processing what has your experience been and finding ways to, again, reauthor that narrative. And then you can connect with your partner sexually. There are different strategies, like something called like sensei focus. It's an experience with couples where they are starting very light, I guess you can say. They're not just diving into sex, but they're connecting emotionally. They're connecting physically, but like not touching genitals or anything like that. Like they are really taking it slow and building, number one, emotional safety with each other, because emotional safety is imperative for any healthy relationship, period. But for those that have had, you know, people that have had any kind of trauma, we all got stuff. Right. But we're talking about sexual trauma. It is imperative that there is emotional safety. There's no shame and there's no judgment. And there's patience in working through, you know, whatever has happened to a person. Because with trauma, it does not go away. The goal with trauma should be to identify our triggers and to reauthor or rewrite that story so that they no longer control us and we are managing them. But they're there. Because it's an experience that we had, unfortunately. So it's doing the work so that we can have a healthy sex life. It's possible for a lot of people, but it just takes time and it takes effort and consistency.
Yeah, I thank you so much for answering that and for responding to that. I will say, and I'm very open about it as well, just because I realize that there, for a long time, I had a lot of shame and a lot of guilt around it, but I'm very vocal about it now. So I was sexually molested when I was younger. And so when when we were engaged and we were dating, it was not an issue. It was not until we got married, and it was the demand of the sex as often as Eric was seeking it, if you will, that really triggered that sexual trauma. And it was, I did not know how to deal with it. I did not know that I needed to go and seek a counselor. I did not know even like where it was coming from. I had no idea how to even navigate from that point in my life to get beyond that at a certain point, just because it was new to me. And I had no idea how you get from one hurdle or how you get from this particular challenge and you overcome this challenge. And, you know, through years and through therapy, it was, and through, like you said, the effort, it has absolutely gotten better. But I had to go back to the trigger. Like, what was the initial trigger? Where did the trauma start? And then starting to re-navigate my way through that process and then allow the healing to take place. And so for every woman and every wife now, are you licensed only in Texas or do you do other states as well?
In Texas.
Okay. So for any wife that is looking to be able to find that support, how would you help them to navigate seeking out that therapist? Like, what advice would you give them, or even the husbands? Because I know that there's even more shame around the men who have been sexually molested than it is with the women. How would you help them to navigate or even start that conversation with their spouse? Because sometimes they've been married 10, 15 years and they don't even know that their husband has been sexually molested when they were younger.
Absolutely. Really longer than that, I've encountered, because shame is not something that goes away. So there's three emotions that, one, we need to make space for all emotions. There's nothing wrong. We judge the negative ones, the ones we deem negative, but there's nothing wrong with any emotion. We need to make space for all of them. But when we sit in these three, blame, shame, and guilt, they will bring you down. They will keep you stuck. And they affect your relationships and they affect your relationship with yourself. Right. And so we want to identify feelings, feel them and allow them to pass as much as possible. And so what I recommend is there are directories now if you are in Texas, of course I am here, but there are directories like Therapy for Black Girls, Therapy for Black Men. And there are Psychology Today, Melanin and Mental Health. There are several directories of licensed professionals that are wanting to help you to do the work. You can do it. So I'm a firm believer that as people, we are relational beings and we thrive in community. We heal in community. But for some things, especially as it relates to sexual trauma, if I identify that that's a major blocker in like couples therapy, I may pause couples therapy, depending on, what's going on. And that person will need to seek individual therapy, because if you have a strong relationship with shame and, and it's affecting your self-esteem, your confidence and all of those things, and then that individual work needs to take precedence. So we all deserve to live healthy, whole lives, and none of us are broken. It's just some of us have, a lot, we all have things to work on, but some of us have more than others. Right. So it definitely do the individual work so that you can have a healthy relationship with yourself and then with sex and then with your partner.
I love it. Y'all, she said self-work first. Self-work first. You can't get beyond the communication or that self-work. Mm-mm. And Naquan, do you find that that's the same process is true even if your spouse has a sex addiction as well, where they, their stress comes out in how they desire sex and what they do with sex and how they view sex?
So what it's now called, because Sex addiction is not a diagnosable disorder. Basically, it's any sexual behavior that is affecting your day-to-day, right? And so, and it can absolutely affect marriage. So with anything, we'll just call it, you know, sex addiction. I'm looking at the root of it. Sometimes it stems from some type of sexual abuse, molestation. Other times it stems from excessive porn use. Now, when I say excessive, because masturbation for all, to a certain extent, some form of masturbation, scientifically speaking, can be healthy. But when it becomes excessive and you're doing it and you can't go to work and things like that, then it's problematic. So, and it can also lead to, you know, like we're talking about with the addiction or the risky behavior. So many things can lead to that. Sometimes people use, you know, masturbation as a coping skill, and it, there are healthy benefits to it, but on the riskier side, it can lead to, you know, that addiction, and that can affect relationships, that can affect jobs, that can affect so many different things. So when it comes to that, you really want to understand the motivation behind it. What's attributing to it? Is this a stress reliever? And now you weigh on the other side, and you know, it's uncontrolled. That's the word, uncontrolled sexual behavior. That's what it's called instead of sex addiction. And so you really want to understand what's leading it, helping a person to identify what's healthy versus, you know, what could be considered unhealthy sexual behavior, and looking at the consequences, both positive and negative.
Love it.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
Wow.
Now, in,
go ahead.
In your experience as a sex therapist, what are some of the most common intimacy challenges that couples are facing, and how can they navigate these effectively?
Okay. So since, you know, we're all, we're believers in, this is basically everyone in Marriage Takeover. I won't say everyone, but most people are believers. When it comes to believers specifically, it's a lack of conversation regarding sexual health. And what I mean specifically is we are not having conversations about, I'm talking about like preliminary, like you're getting close to a person, you know that you want this relationship. We're not talking about what are your beliefs on right. sexual health? Right. What's your definition of sexual health? Do you believe in going to the doctor? Because what I'm finding is people are married, you know, several years, and their partners are struggling to, you know, go to the doctor, go to the dentist and things like that. What I advocate for is in early on, let's be preventative. So now we don't have to be proactive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's, let's understand, you know, do you believe in sexual health? Do you believe in going to the doctor? In the event that, because it happens, as we age and our jiggly parts change,
right?
We may need some medication.
Right.
You may need some medication. There's so much shame around, you know, medication or assistive devices and even the use of toys to access pleasure. Let's talk about that in the forefront. What are your beliefs around it? It's a conversation, and it will eliminate so much conflict on the back end. That's probably one of the biggest things that I see is a lack of communication around sexual health. They're not talking about fantasies, toys, their views on masturbation. You have couples who feel that masturbation is cheating. You have others that are completely fine with it, but if you don't know where you stand and you're not verbalizing that, there's just a lack of boundaries around so many things as it relates to relationships and sexual health.
That's good. That's good. And I want to also, just because we are, sometimes I just want to make sure that we understand kind of the truth and the reality of where we're sitting in as well, because you mentioned like the porn addiction as well. And I don't know that if everybody understands that, but 77% of Christian men are looking at porn on a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis. Yep.
And so somebody might be sitting there trying to judge, but the reality is okay, now when you're faced with this inside of your marriage, when you're faced inside of this, because now this friction is here, because we didn't have, as you mentioned, Naquan, the conversation in the very beginning of our marriage about what we were looking for, desiring when it came to intimacy, what we thought it was, how it was going to break down. And then even also neglecting, really, if you want to consider it, the word of God, because even in scripture, for those, we have a group of audience who just loves to have the scripture behind every podcast that we do. So even with scripture, it says that the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. That's 1 Corinthians 7 and 3 and also verse 5. So when you're thinking about
it, y'all need to have sex and quit trying to deprive one another. But you got to have
the conversation. Right? It's not just a I want it, let me have it type situation. No.
Let's talk about it.
Just because I remember, now y'all listen, don't y'all judge us. Don't y'all come for us in these listen, don't you come for us. But I'm just going to tell you, like, there was a time in our marriage where Eric was always wanting sex. And I'm like, well, I want an orgasm too. Like, I want to just be sitting up here and you just getting all the pleasure. Like, if we gonna go through the process, let's make sure we both enjoying it.
Let's get pleasure.
And so we had to have the conversation, but nobody taught us that.
No. I had to learn them. I had to learn through trial and error.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we're bringing it to the community, because for whatever reason, we're not having this conversation in the church. And I don't know why, when God created sex.
On the average.
Shame.
And that's
shame. Shame is still very much present, and especially in the church. There's so much shame about pleasure and speaking of orgasms and things like that. And also, I'm a huge advocate. So everyone loves an orgasm. But pleasure should be the priority, not just orgasm. Orgasm is one way to experience pleasure. There's so many different erogenous zones on the body and just connecting with a person. So yeah, of course you want to have an orgasm, but also you're doing yourself a disservice if you're only focusing on that, because now we're talking about performance anxiety. Always thinking about just the orgasm, and if your partner's orgasm, can lead to a lot of being in your head, which again affects the journey that you could be experiencing if it was more pleasure focused. So focus on the pleasure, focus on the touch, the smells, the sensation, right? Communicating to your partner, being present in your body. One of my questions is, what brings you the most pleasure? Like, have this conversation and identify, you know, what things could be, what's good in our sex lives, but also what could be better. Notice my language. Oftentimes we're talking about what's wrong.
Right.
What kind of energy does that bring in the room?
Ooh,
what's wrong? How is it bad?
Libido.
Language.
Drops.
The word says tongue has power.
Right.
That's in this.
You're
talking about sex too.
Right.
Man.
I love that.
I love the positive
spin on it.
Yeah. It's like, yo, what's good? What could be better? You know what I'm saying? Do I need to back that thing up or, you know, slide it forward? Which one? How can we make it better? So, yeah, that's good.
And then what tips do you have for busy couples, right? So Eric and I, we are, I think we're good, though, right? We're good, right, babes?
What could we do better?
If you don't know, boo,
right,
that's
right.
The conversation.
That's the conversation.
Y'all should be having check-in.
Right. I think we're good when it comes to,
what could we do better?
Where we are, but we are so busy, and as are other couples. What are some tips that you would be able to give busy couples? Like, we always say, like little, you know, quickies or sticky notes or things. Like, Eric is amazing when it comes to intimacy.
and how he shows, you know, the intimacy and just different ways that he's, I don't want to say studied me, but he really is, he's amazing when it comes to, like, making sure that I know that I'm loved, making sure that he's hitting all those touch points, making sure that he's speaking my love language. So what are some different things that couples can do to reignite or maintain? Yes, baby?
No, I was just going to say that I am a doctor. I have my doctor's degree in Tamika.
Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. So you stopped my question.
I love that.
You have me up here blushing. What are your top tips for busy couples looking to maintain or reignite a spark of intimacy inside of their marriage?
Imagine the sensation of soft sand between your toes, the gentle caress of tropical breezes, and the rhythmic sounds of waves meeting the shore. Picture you and your spouse, hand in hand, leaving behind those mundane daily routines, stepping out on a vacation that is well-deserved into a world filled with love, romance, and tropical excitement. Sounds like a dream, right? Well, get ready, because it's about to come true. Join us for the Marriage Takeover Tropical Shift Retreat in Aruba. Listen, you don't want to miss this.
I hope that both of you have doctorates in each other, because that is fabulous. Because if we're going to have a healthy, you know, pleasure-filled marriage, we need to study one another. Otherwise, the conversations fade and you look up and you're in a sexless marriage and you're roommates. Yeah. So studying one another in that way.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about being preventative. Now we are designing the relationships that we want and desire. So kudos to you, Dr. Eric. Yeah. Now.
Thank you.
So this is very common. Common issue is we are busy. Like, I'm tired. Like I said, I want that nap. And so, number one thing
is people,
I get such a face, and people are a bit combative when it comes to this suggestion. But scheduling intimacy, absolutely. Yeah. Scheduling intimacy. I have so many people, because I work with a lot of, you know, CEOs and professionals, and they're all about their calendars. But they're nowhere on that calendar, not when it comes to their own self-care and not when it comes to their marriage or their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a huge advocate. If you are experiencing that downtime as it relates to, you know, intimacy and date nights and sex, put it on a calendar. Because if they think, this is robotic and we should just be able to do it, but you're not, and it's not working, right? So let's try some things that would work. And imagine, instead of looking at, you know, this being robotic, if you knew that Wednesday at 10 p.m. that it was going down, that means that you could be as spontaneous as you want to in that time frame. Mm-hmm. You can dress up, you can have your toys, or you can have your foods and things that you want to, you know, try. You can go to, you know, have a sexy date night, go to the sex store and try some different things, but you have something to look forward to. It comes down to mindset. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely encourage couples that are busy to put it on the calendar. Put your self-care on that calendar, put your date nights on that calendar, and put your sexy time on that calendar so that you can have something to look forward to and you can be consistent. Because oftentimes people feel when it's not happening, oh, my partner doesn't want me. And that may not be it, but I'm not doing well with doing all the things, because what happens, we have 50, 11 things throughout the day, and then our partners get the crumbs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Because we just don't have the time. But if you protect that time, mm-hmm. it's a different story.
I love that.
Yeah, that just reminded me, there was a time where I was like, oh my God, I was just extremely busy. I barely had time to sneeze. And Tamika was like, babe, I'm not understanding this. She says, how do you give the world all of your strength, but then you give your family the crumbs? the what's left. So I said, wow. I sat back. I had to look at myself like, you know what? You're right. So, like, honestly, even during that time I was busy, I popped me a Monster drink before I come in the house so I could have some energy to go. Because giving them on, like, yo, you're right. I've had it backwards. And when we look at a lot of the CEOs, a lot of business owners and stuff of that nature are still always busy on building the business, but we build a business, we put our focus on the business, but we're allowing our house to fall into ruins.
Right.
And so it's like, mm-hmm. yo, there's no need to build this massive business, but now you don't lost out on what was there. So I love that. It's just getting it to put it in there, because even in that intimacy time frame, it's like, yo, it's like you don't see me no more. I'm not, and you mm-hmm. don't even have time to talk to me. Cause then it's like, you're right. Okay. All right. And we started going, oh my goodness, this is awesome. I know we gotta take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Take over.
Are you looking for accountability? Are you looking for personal development and growth and spiritual and emotional support? Hey, are you looking for community? Listen, if you are looking for all these things, we want you to know that the Marriage Takeover Connected membership is for you.
Yes, it is.
Listen, we meet every month. We have a wife's lounge. We've got bro talk. We have all the different things. We've got monthly classes. We have experts that come in. And it's an opportunity for us to pour into you, for you to be able to get what you need to start your healing process. So if this is for you, we want you to connect and get inside of the membership.
Imagine the sensation of soft sand between your toes, the gentle caress of tropical breezes, and the rhythmic sounds of waves meeting the shore. Picture you and your spouse, hand in hand, leaving behind those mundane daily routines, stepping out on a vacation that is well-deserved into a world filled with love, romance, and tropical excitement. Sounds like a dream, right? Well, get ready, because it's about to come true.
Join us for the Marriage Takeover Tropical Shift Retreat in Aruba. Listen, you don't want to miss this.
And we are back.
Yes,
welcome
we are.
Back to the podcast, Marriage Takeover Podcast. Listen, we have Naquan Lewis in the house with us, a sex therapist who has been dropping nuggets, who has been offering us so much value. And if you've missed it, listen, you want to make sure that you go and
you better hit rewind
at the beginning and tune in so that you can hear all the goods and the juices that she's been offering. We want to thank her again so much for tuning in and for being here with us. And for her yes on today, we so appreciate you. So, Naquan, let's talk about what's coming up with you in, the upcoming days, weeks, and how can the audience reach out to you, show you some love, support you, purchase your products? How can they get in contact with you, and what's coming up for you?
So what is coming up for me is, as a sex therapist, I feel it is my duty to assist other clinicians that don't have the specialized training to know the importance of discussing sexual health with their clients, whether it be individuals or couples. So I am starting some training programs for clinicians, because what I know is that there are some clinicians that are, I guess you can say, a bit timid. We're just going to call it what it is. They're uncomfortable. Mm. They're uncomfortable with the topic. And not speaking about sexual health with a client is a huge disservice, because sexual health is a part of health.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a part of mental health. It's a part of physical health. Right. And so I am doing that. I am always out in the community. I have, speaking engagements coming up. You can always catch me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Intimate Connections PLLC. And as far as my relationship and intimacy products, Right now, I have two, and that is the Relationship and Sex Conversation Cards. Yes. And then there's Accompanying Digital Guide to Intimacy. Mm. And so these should be used with adults, because a lot of us have not been taught to have healthy relationships, to build and design those healthy relationships and sex lives that we deserve. And so investing in these, you're going to have that, because there's so many questions on healthy relationships, boundaries, and sex and intimacy, right? And so these will assist you with building what you deserve, and you'll have a relationship that reflects where you are currently and not where you've been. So if there is, we all have unhealthy narratives that have had to be interrupted. So these will assist you with creating shared definitions. I find, especially with my couples, child, they're having the same argument over and over and over. Yeah. And it is because they are not having the same conversation. Like you said, Tamika, respect. One of the cards is define respect. Have a shared definition of what respect is. Because if I am talking about this and you're talking about that, whether it be respect, trust, so many different things that we are not defining them, we're talking about different issues. Mm-hmm. And so that's a quick little nugget to stop having the same argument, is to define and ask for clarity so we know we're on the same page. These are also great for parents, because in my relationship, I want my relationship with my spouse to be healthy, but I'm raising children today that also know how to do what I'm trying to attain, which is design healthy relationships for themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my children can define what trust is for themselves. They can communicate that to others. And it's because I use these products with them. So that's pretty much what I have coming up. I may be at some couples retreats that's still in the works. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Sweet. And we can find your cards. We're on your website, right?
Yes, intimateconnectionspllc.com. Okay. And these are different. You can't just get these at Target, because these are sex therapist curated conversation cards. Mm-hmm. And that's why they stand out. Even the bundle, which comes with the cards and the guide is amazing, because it comes with the questions from the cards. It comes with bonus questions, psychoeducation. I'm giving you strategies to implement these things that you're trying to, you know, build your relationship with. It has book recommendations and more. And because it's digital, it's evergreen. One thing that I advocate for is, as we, you know, every year we should be revising our relationships, right? Reviving and revising, yeah. Right? Because I know for me, my vows with my husband do not align with who I am today, the ones that we set 8 years ago. Mm. And so we are always updating to make sure that I'm a different person, right? Yeah. Are our vows in alignment with who we are? And so because the guide is evergreen, you can go in and update it as much as you need to. And the space is for you and your partner to process.
I love it.
Wow.
That is awesome. I love it. And this is really good, too. Like, we just finished with our couples. Every year, our family does, you know, vision boards, right? But we do like a full vision casting, if you will, not just for our lives personally, but with our children, how our children want to map out, you know, their year. We also do it for our marriage, because just like you said, our marriage is different, and we grow and we evolve. So what is the vision for our marriage for this year? And what are we looking to do? And some of the things that, you know, you could do is incorporate that throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And although, you know, you've already started, right? Most of them have already mapped out their mission statements, because that's just something that we do with our couples every year, in their vision. Like, look to see what additional components you can add now to your vision board, to the vision that you have for your marriage, the vision you have for your family, and incorporate these tools so that you can, again, make sure that you are, as we always say, becoming the best version of you and who God created you to be. Oh, yeah. So we love that this space.
Yeah, I want to be more intimate with my spouse. Well, go grab a cards. We got them.
We started them. And one of the things that I like too about the cards, like, they're relationship based too.
Yeah.
So there are some components about intimacy. There are some components about relationships, to the point to where, like, our daughter, who is a teenager, we can start having her to have the conversation about, like, what does that look like for you? Like, what do you think of? Then with our son, who is, we met his girlfriend over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So even with being able to gift them with something like that so they can have the conversation, like, is this really what we're about to go into? Like, make sure you're having that conversation, because we find that when couples come to us for premarital sessions is they haven't had the conversation or they haven't thought about that yet, just because in the culture, nobody said,
right,
hey, you want to sit down and you want to make sure you understand this and this and this before you say I do.
Yes. You know, it's so funny because it's like with what you do, we're just taking we're taken aback. That's the word I was trying to find. Taken aback to really recognize, like, yo, with sex being such a important part, because understand, he does say be fruitful and multiply, but it's the intimacy that has to take place within the relationship to bring about the multiplication. I want to ask you this question. I know, because I want to ask you this question. Far as when it comes down to those barriers, it's like, how hard does it, how hard, because we know that it all starts with a mindset shift. So when it comes down to those barriers, it's like, how hard is it for you sometime to break that barrier, you know, from the individual to be like, you know, just relax. Let's talk about it. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Let's really get into how hard, because it's a burial. That's what I have really recognized, but it's such a religious barrier from, like what you said earlier, because of due to shame, doubt, fear, all of that. It's a barrier. So how do you get them to open their minds and be like, hey, just try it. Cause you know what I mean? I'm like, quick, hey, just try the darn thing. See what happens. You know, how do you do that?
So there's a lot of steps to that. So it includes educating people on what cognitive distortions are. And what that means is there are ways that our thoughts affect us in an unhealthy way. So like black and white thinking, there's a lot of that going on, right? There's a lot of all or nothing thinking or catastrophic thoughts, like worst case scenarios. So and then the narratives. So many folks it's something that we all do with creating narratives and not having like absolute facts about the beliefs that are in our head. So I educate people on how to identify what those narratives are. There's a lot of narratives around what should be happening in marriage, mm-hmm. what should be happening in relationship. Right. Right. And so we're going to identify what those narratives are. And then we're going to look at what are the facts. There's a lot of people that won't look at alternate perspectives. You don't have to have the same perspective as your partner, and you likely won't, because we are all different and our perspectives are fueled by so many things, by our childhoods, our traumas, our lived experiences, how we take in the world pretty much, right? It's the lens that I'm looking out at the world at that colors my perspective. Yours is going to be different as you are a different person. So creating honor for that difference is imperative for that mindset shift.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Your perspective is yours and mine is mine. And I don't have to agree with it, but can we respect it?
Mm.
Right. That's so we good. Can respect that. Then we can, now we can get on the same page, and now we can be more open to, you know, so many different things.
That's good.
Wow.
I love that. Awesome. Creating honor. I yes. love that. I love that. I love that. Because yes. that's where, yeah, if we are able to get to a space that we're creating honor for our differences, I'm telling you, our marriages would be on a whole different level.
Whole different level.
I love that. Wow. I love that. I love that.
Wow.
With that, Naquan, what final words or advice would you offer to our community? And our couples just kind of in that space of honoring the differences and being able to create their and reauthoring their own narratives. Like what are your final words for the audience?
Yes. Final words is making sure that we all create self. Well, number one, that we are loving ourselves intentionally by knowing your values, principles, and morals and living by that. as it relates to, you know, everything, but especially how you treat yourself. Having standards of relationships. Expectations, don't really love that word, but standards of relationships are a little bit different, right? My standards of relationship is respect, support, compassion, kindness. And so knowing what those are and letting that lead how you look for your relationships and how you build and design your relationships. Emotional safety. Broken record when it comes to emotional safety. If I don't feel safe with you emotionally, if I don't feel secure with you emotionally, I'm not going to open up and be vulnerable, which is the cornerstone of connection. And that means that sex is affected. Everything is affected. So creating an emotion safe space where I want to come to you and talk to you as my partner, instead of thinking, well, I should just do it because we're married. No, create the space for that to happen. And that's it.
Wow. That's good. Thank you so much, Naquan, for being here and being a guest on the Marriage Takeover podcast show. It has been an absolute honor.
It has.
We thank you so much.
And thank you.
And one last time as well, if you could just let our audience know where to find you and your products as well.
Yes. So intimateconnectionsplc.com. You want to get these. And, you know, I definitely wouldn't mind giving out a discount code for the Marriage Takeover family. And you want to get one for yourself and you want to get one for your homegirl or your cousin or even your mama, because we're never too old.
Right.
We are never too old to get it right and to build the relationships that we desire. And so you can find me on all the social media platforms, the Intimate Connections PLLC. And if you are in the state of Texas and want to connect with me, you can contact me on my website.
Sweet. Love it, love it, love it. And we'll make sure that we get that coupon code out to you guys, along with the links, and the coupon code will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much. And we will tell you, like I said, we have the cards, y'all. They have been a blessing to us when it comes to, you know, starting the conversations, and just it's been such a blessing. And Naquan, thank you so much. I am so happy that I had the opportunity to meet you. Like
yeah.
I said, we have been searching for a sex therapist for our community for a very long time, and having the right one was essential. So thank you so much for your yes and your time here today. And we're praying that God will continue to bless you, that he will continue to bless your business, that he will continue to keep you and your family, and that he will just continue to just shower over you and all that you put your hands to.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
You are so very welcome. So very welcome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we want to thank you all so much for tuning in on today.
Ooh.
We are super excited just to have you just tune in and listen. Those are some great nuggets, some great insights. And we want to always make sure that we're keeping it real, keeping it raw, keeping it uncut, but also with class. And Naquan has done that with such grace.
Yeah.
And we so appreciate her and thank her so much for stopping by. We want to remind you as well that the Aruba Retreat is up and coming. So if you haven't already registered for the Aruba Retreat, that information will also be in the show notes. It's something that you do not want to miss out on.
Locked down.
You're going to... we're going to make sure that we are honoring you in that space and making sure that you're getting from one shift to the next shift.
Uh-huh.
Where God is calling you, where he is moving you in a beautiful island. Y'all know I love an island. So on a beautiful island where there is sunshine and flamingos and beautiful water. So make sure that you don't miss that opportunity to join us for our first destination retreat in Aruba. So with that being said, is there anything else?
You're going to pray that, not
you. All right, God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We just ask, God, that you will continue to have your way, that you will continue to breathe upon each and every household that is represented, that is listening, Lord, that you would sit in the midst of every challenge that is going on in every household around the sexual trauma, around intimacy, around sexual pleasure. And Lord, that you would just feed them with your wisdom, your guidance, that you would speak to them, that you would give them the courage to have the conversations, that you would show them where they no longer have to have the shame or the blame inside of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, that you would give them the courage and start the healing process so that they can start communicating with boldness, that they could start communicating with love, that they could start communicating with grace to start that healing process with their spouse so that they can move from one situation to the next situation, God. And Lord, really start to really love each other and honor each other with their bodies, with their lives, as you have always designed and created sex to be, God. Mm-hmm. And even the intimacy, even how you showed us in the Book of Solomon, Lord, how you showed us what it is to love each other and showed us what it is to long after each other, mm-hmm. God. Lord, bring that desire into the marriages for each other, God. Lord, not for somebody outside of their marriage, but for them to be able to love each other in that way.
Yeah.
And sometimes it starts with the healing process. Mm-hmm. So we're asking that you would meet everyone where they are, that you would just give them the courage to reach out to the right tools, the right resources, the right people to navigate this space, and that we don't allow fear and shame and guilt to hold us back and blame to hold us back from all that you have stored for us, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
It's your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock Nim.
Listen, and this is Marriage Takeover.
Signing out.
Take over. We have a marriage takeover. Take over.